The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's Wednesday, the 22nd of August, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Aidan Bishop, founder and chairman of Big Dish. D-I-S-H, the ticker there, Dish. It's a food tech company that operates a yield management platform for restaurants, and Aidan describes their Asian strategy, an update on that. Also on the podcast of John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talking about Kodal Minerals, K-O-D, Strategic Minerals, S-M-L, and Blue Jay Mining, J-A-Y. Plus, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. And these are now on the front page, our brand new front page at Vox Markets. Check it out, voxmarkets.co.uk.
Want to get live push notification alerts whenever a company you follow releases an RNS? Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Aidan Bishop, founder and chairman of Big Dish. Dish is the ticker, D-I-S-H is the ticker there. Aidan, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Now, more news coming out, and you've only just sort of listed, so you're a new company, but news flow is strong. We'll get into the news in a bit. For people just tuning in to the podcast or not familiar with the company, Aidan, explain, what is Big Dish, please?
Big Dish is a yield management platform for restaurants. So yield management is a dynamic pricing strategy that charges a different price at different times for the same product. So dynamic pricing, yield management, or revenue management, it transformed the way airline seats were sold in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. And the hotel industry quickly followed suit and adopted yield management. The restaurant industry is traditionally a slower adopter of technology. So we believe that there is a great opportunity for the same disruption that it was experienced in the airline industry and the hotel industry to happen in the restaurant industry. And the answer to that is technology, a yield management and dynamic pricing technology solution.
Yeah, and of course, in this day and age with apps, it's so convenient. And like I said, it doesn't cost the consumer anything. It only charges restaurants when they get a booking or paid booking, so that's fine, isn't it? You know.
Well, there's two aspects of it. I mean, you know, in the restaurant sector, people are used to, you know, cutting vouchers out of newspapers or magazines. They've become used to buying discount cards and so forth. The problem with these models is, for the most part, they generate very little useful data. So technology, of course, and with apps and what we're doing, we track absolutely everything. So we are able to make, you know, intelligent marketing decisions based upon data. We get to understand our user demographic better, and we just basically create a win-win situation for restaurants,
and I suppose it's
and
a
consumers
way,
alike.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, you know, previously, if I, you know, have a restaurant they quite like, and I'd have to call them up and ask them if they've got you know, any spaces at a certain time, and I suppose with your app, they would show that, wouldn't it? When's availability, I suppose.
Well, absolutely. I remember when I was a kid, people used to go on holiday. You used to walk down to your local travel agent, sit down there, look through brochures, you know, and then start booking.
I can't believe this still exists.
Goes to travel agent.
I know.
Exactly. It's insane. It doesn't happen anymore. You know, and are people in 3 years' time, are people really going to still be calling restaurants, making phone bookings? It makes absolutely no sense when you, within three taps, certainly with a Big Dish experience, you've got an instantly confirmed booking. And of course, depending on the time you go, there's value there to be gained. I mean, so we think it's definitely the future. I mean, you could see the quote today's RNS from the CEO Joost Boer, that is believing that, you know, discount cards, membership cards, these things will become a thing of the past within 3 years. And
yeah.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, but you know what? Before we go into the news, I was saying that my wife does still pop into travel agents. When she goes to book a holiday, it's almost like she wants to check the places for real. She doesn't believe the internet, and she goes in and gets a brochure just to check it's there, you know, in the brochure, like there's any difference being in pages than on the internet. But anyway, okay.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I think there is always a trust issue with certain people, but it's changing.
It's odd, though. My wife is a bit odd.
Well, I don't want to say that, obviously. But yeah.
Okay. I don't want to say that either, but it's true. And she's younger than me as well, so she should be into that kind of stuff. Anyway, so let's let's go into the Asian strategy update. What's happening here? Because I know you are sort of based up there. You've started there, haven't you? And you're rolling out to the UK. But what's happening in
Asia? I mean, today's news was really a sort of a follow-on from the last announcement we did regarding the acquisition of Lulu and how we're setting the stage for growth. And we give a little bit of insight into what we've discovered around user behavior. So one of the things, of course, in tracking all the data, we've determined that the most prominent user of Big Dish, it tends to be a female, is an Android phone user, and is a millennial between the age of 25 and 34. So it's quite interesting that when we understand that we can look to further market towards that particular demographic to create more users within that demographic. And the other things, of course, that we've discovered, that we are seeing that yield management. So the driver behind yield management is incentive. What causes people to, you know, book a holiday at an off-peak time? Of course, it's incentive. What persuades people to book airline seats at, you know, peculiar hours, which might be inconvenient? It's incentive. So incentive is the driver behind yield management. And so we're seeing it work. So we've seen here in Manila that our most popular time slot is 9 p.m., and which is probably representative of the fact that Manila is like a 24-hour type of city. You've got a massive call center type of industry. So, but it's interesting to see that people are, you know, choosing to dine outside of what might be considered typical to normal time because the incentive is there to do so.
Yeah, do you know what? You're right, that data. A restaurant wouldn't have that, would they? I mean, you just go in and book and you put your name down, that's about it, but they wouldn't have anything else. But that kind of data required from us, it's, you know, your marketing becomes a whole lot more strategic, focused and spot on then, doesn't it, with that? There's so many things open, so many avenues open to that kind of accuracy, you know?
Well, it does, and that's why we built not just a consumer app, not just an app for restaurants, but we also built a business intelligence platform. And from that allows us to slice and dice the data and to, yeah, I mean, that's where the value really actually is.
Yeah, okay, so you've got, I mean, I've seen the app, I went to the app store, actually, I looked at it, and it's in the Far East there, and you are launching an app over here very soon, aren't you?
We are. So, I mean, we announced previously around launching in the UK in Bath. So people can already use Table Pouncer. They can download that and they can make bookings. And it's been great to see some private investors have contacted and reached out to us and said they've tried it in Bournemouth, in Bath, and it's been a great experience so for them, which is great. But yeah, as of next month, we're launching in Bath as the Big Dish app. And then after that, we are going to then the Table Pouncer app will be rebranded completely into the Big Dish app experience. So that's where we're going.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, well, Aidan, if someone's listening and likes the sound of this, but not following the story, give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, I think if somebody agrees that, you know, yield management changed the way airline seats and hotel rooms are sold and believes it could happen in the restaurant industry, they should follow us. And I think also if somebody believes that, you know, vouchers and paper clippings and coupons and all of these things are going to become increasingly a thing of the past and, you know, technology solutions such as Big Dish is the future, then I think it's worth following us. We're in a disruptive space and we're pretty excited about where we're going.
Excellent stuff. And good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Cheers.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. John, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Now, I suppose, you know, explain to people, what is SP Angel? Because people, you know, I say that every week, and some people may not even know who SP Angel are. So can you just give a brief summary of what SP Angel is all about, please, John?
Well, we're a very small investment bank. We're specialists in mining and resources. So we do oil and gas. We do some technology. We find small companies. We help to educate them about how they should present themselves to the market. We analyze what they're doing. We advise them on how best to proceed, and we hope to help these guys to add real value to their businesses. So we add finance where necessary, and that's how we get paid these days. Mm-hmm. Sadly, it's difficult to get paid just for trading shares anymore. But we really are passionate about about helping British entrepreneurs and Australians and sometimes Canadians to really make a difference and get into the mining game properly, so they discover and develop and then produce profits from these companies in the right way. So we're looking for things that are done ethically, sustainably, and just done properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marvelous stuff. Okay, we're looking at stocks, and I know we often chat about Kodal, and they've had some Kodal Minerals. KOD is a ticker there, of course. They're in lithium in Mali. Some decent grades coming out there, John, isn't it? I know they're going to define a resource by autumn, they say, and the share price has risen strongly, I think, based on that, that sort of delivery, that news. But good grades out again today.
Well, very good grades, particularly for a lithium project, and more importantly, very good width. So the width of the mineralization is fantastic from a mining perspective. And again, with this, we also know that the spodumene or the lithium mineralization is particularly clean. So the Chinese are desperate to get their hands on this mineralization. They've asked the company to, if they can look at trucking this down to the coast and putting it on a ship just as fast as they can. So it does take time to really put a mine together properly, but we know that at least the consumers are very keen to get their hands on the material.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the chart, it's gone crazy last couple of days, and I did say on Twitter, I said, well, I've sold some here because I've sold my lot here because it just rose so quickly. And one of those mistakes I made, I sold too early because I was sitting on a loss for a while. It bolted into profit, and I just thought, okay, listen, I've got too many stocks going into the summer here, and I just sold. But I just think if it has a pullback, I will seriously consider getting back in for the future. But like I said, it's one of those things where it's just gone crazy, stratospheric, because it went straight up, and no share price goes straight up. So that worried me a bit. I thought, okay.
I think there is reason why this is going to be worth quite a lot more going forwards. But if you said you want to take some profits and maybe recycle some of that money into Arc Minerals, which has some very exciting drill results in Zambia, then I wouldn't go against that idea.
Yeah, okay. Marvellous, John says KOD. Some news out from Strategic Minerals, SML. Of course, their tin operation in Redmore in Cornwall there. So what's happening, John? What's the news there?
Well, Redmore's looking quite interesting. I mean, it's a historic tin mine. It's not that old. I think it was operated around the time of the last war. They are drilling it. They're drilling it to see what the grades and the intersections are like. So we don't quite know whether this is going to be a mine going forwards or if it's something that ends up being put on hold. But certainly the intersections look good. We're still waiting for the grades to come through. So very interesting project and something I'd personally love to see go ahead, because I started my mining career in a tin mine in Cornwall. So one has a sort of historic nostalgia for these things. But we know there's good money to be made down there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. And of course, not just that operation, they've got lots of other things going on, haven't they? I mean, like I said, they've got the Cobre operation, which is profitable, and that's the cash cow for them. And that allows them to go out and sort of, explore. And I think in Australia, they've got Care, and they've got Lee Creek Copper up there, which is looking quite exciting. I know you like copper, didn't you?
Well, look, it's a very experienced and very sensible, conservative management team. They have organised, so they have sufficient cash flow to pay for the business, to push the business forwards, and that's run out of the magnetite operation in New Mexico. But what really gets me excited about this company is the Lee Creek copper operations in Australia. Now, Lee Creek itself has a tailings project with 24,500 tons of copper in it. That in itself won't set the world on fire, but again, it should be a very nice cash cow. They've got a few metallurgical issues just to double check before they can look to put that into production. But again, it's great access into copper production. But for me, the really exciting bit is the exploration around Lee Creek. And there may well be some bigger targets to be had there. And I'm looking for them to be drilling some exciting stuff in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've still got, of course, the Handcamp project, the exploration going on there. So, you know, they are exposed to some decent, exciting areas. And they've also got, like I said, that revenue behind them, which is, you know, a lot of AIM companies don't have. And they have to go back to the market all, you know, every 6-12 months, whatever. Okay. Anything else, John? I know you mentioned about Blue Jay, which is, you know, J is the ticker, J-A-Y. What's happening there?
Well, there's been a lot of volume, a lot of trading in Blue Jay recently. There's definitely a bear squeeze going on in the market where some people who'd borrowed money to buy stock had probably got they got found out by the market and the market. So some people ran the price against them. The stock's now recovering, and I think recovering for very good reason, because they are talking to off-takers about a potential off-take deal, and it's, you know, I would put my money on news coming out from that off-take sooner rather than later. So for me, Blue Jay's really exciting. You've got Blue Jay's going to produce ilmenite, which is titanium mineral sands in Greenland, and that market is tightening up. For example, the floods in Kerala, terrible as they are likely to put out of production possibly 88,000 tons of ilmenite production in that area. So you know, the other ilmenite producers are struggling in other parts of the world. Not everybody, of course, has a flooding situation like they do in Kerala, but there are problems with the supply chain for titanium minerals, and companies like Blue Jay, I think, are going to become ever more popular.
Mm-hmm. Jay, let me look at the chart there. I haven't looked at the chart for a while. I always like to look at the chart, because I don't rely on charts. I mean, that's what traders are relying on, fundamentals. But as far as looking at entry and exit points, I always look at charts, you know. Yeah, do you know what? That's coming towards a bit of a decent support level there. You know, they're about between 15 and 12 and a half, but it's dipped down there. So maybe hitting a bit of support, because it was up at, 25 pence. Now it's around about 14 pence. So it's come off a bit, isn't it?
I've got to say, I think this is a really good chance to buy back into a stock that I think is going to do very well going forwards.
What's the market cap now? 120, 120 million. Okay. Marvellous. Well, generally that's outside my bracket. I like the micro. I like the tiddlers. I love the tiddler. John?
Well, that's what we do. We like to find them small and get them to be larger.
Exactly. Marvellous stuff, John. And we'll chat next week, fella. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies in the... In fact, shall I do the top 10? I'll do the top 10, I think. At 10, Ananda Developments, ANA, of course, in the medical cannabis area. At 9, Big Dish, of course, chatted to Aiden just now, Dish is ticker. At 8, Landor Resources, L&D. At... Where are we at? This is why I don't do 10. At 7, I think, Codal Minerals. KOD. At 6, EBR Holdings, EBRH. At 5, Botswana Diamonds, BOD. At 4, 7 Digital Group, 7 Dig. At 3, Expedia, XPD. At 2, Predator Oil and Gas, PRD. And number 1 most followed company in the last 24 hours is Rehobold Resources, RBD. Yeah, I just found they had a problem, you know, obviously counting from 10 to 1. It's quite hard there. Okay, top 5 most liked RNSs came from the following companies. At 5, Asia Met Resources. That was yesterday afternoon. Appointment of Berenberger as joint corporate broker. At 4, Edenville Energy, coal supply contract. At 3, Codal Minerals. We chatted to John about those on the podcast course. 32 metres at 1.61. Lithium returned at Segola Boale. I don't know if my accent was spot on there. I can give it a go. That's the main thing in life. Strategic Minerals. Red Moor Project Updates, number 2. We chatted about that too with John. And number 1 is from EVR Holdings, half year report. It's most liked. It's quite a followed company, but the share price is down today by 11%. I think it's from a year lows, I think, 6 month low, or close to that anyway. Marvellous stuff. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.